So we're going to start with a verse of Scripture this morning. And I'm going to take one out of Hebrews. And it's Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to read to you verses 16 and 17. Hebrews chapter 10, 16 and 17. And it says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord." And this, pay attention to what he says. "I will put my law into their hearts." We're talking about the Word of God now. When he was talking here, he was talking about the Old Testament. But the law to us today is the complete Word of God. And he said, "In their hearts will I write them." It's going to be permanent. So this is what he wants for us in our life. And he said, "Their sins and iniquities," then once we're saved, he says, "then their sins and iniquities," he said, "I will remember no more." So what are we going to do with that law? Am I loud? I'll just back up.
We don't have any mics.
All right, I've lost my train of thought. No, not really. So what are we going to do with that law? I'll try to talk lower. How's that? That God has given unto us in our heart. So one of the greatest things that God has done for us as believers is he has given us the ability, and this is what Hebrews is talking about, to share the gospel of his saving grace with everybody. Everybody that he brings us in contact with, even those that we run into, we're to share the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So how do we do this? We do it through preaching. We do it through teaching. We do it through testimony. We do it by our actions. Are the characteristics that we have. Those things that, and we can only do it because God has prepared our hearts to be able to do this in our life. So therefore, all of these, he gives us gifts, many gifts that we have in our life. And he gives us gifts, so not just to bless us. You know, a lot of us sometimes as believers, we think our gifts are to bless us. But our gifts are to be a blessing to those around us. They're to be a blessing to inspire those around us. They're to be a blessing to encourage those around us so that we might always be found doing those things that God wants us to do in our life. So these gifts or these abilities have nothing to do with ourselves. Self-righteousness is taken out of the way, and now we live by the righteousness of God. And we do this because everything that God has given us to do points to his eternal purpose. Our eternal purpose with him. Everybody else's eternal purpose with him. So it's by strength. God gives us strength. He gives us courage. He helps us to walk through doors that he opens. Okay, amen. How many of us, we see open doors from time to time. We don't walk through them. But God gives us the strength to do that because every opportunity God has prepared for us. Every opportunity that we have, God has already prepared that in our hearts. So he has given us the ability to go out and to communicate with others. The things that God has taught us, he has given us that ability to go out and communicate that with others. So the world, including ourselves, the world needs to hear the message of salvation. Amen? That's what we're here for. And it is our willing service to provide that. Our responsibility to provide that. Our ability to share that testimony which God has instilled within each and every one of us through the saving grace that we have accepted that comes through his Son, Jesus Christ. So we're going to go to the book of John this morning. And here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to learn how to become a greater voice for God in this world that we live in. Because we, all of us, well, not me, I don't have a problem talking to people, but I like to talk. Well, you might want to go start breakfast before I get done. So. But God has given us a voice, and He wants us to share with others that He has instilled within us. So in the book of John, chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 19. And here's what it says. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him. And here was the question that they asked him. Who art thou? Now, when people ask you who you are, as a believer, it shouldn't be what our life has been, but it should be what our life is now in God. So this is what we're getting to here. He said, who art thou? And it said he confessed and denied not, but confessed, no, I'm not Christ. So that's the first thing. Spiritual pride and arrogance is a terrible thing, and it brings a lot of falseness into the church today, a lot of deception. You've been learning that through your Sunday school lessons. So that's one thing we got to be careful about. But he said, I am not Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. He said, art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto them, they asked him again, then who are you? Who are you? And what they were wanting to get him to admit was that he was some kind of God, but John wasn't going to do this. But he said, that ye may give an answer to them that sent us, what sayest thou of thyself? And here's what he said. So here's what we are. I get excited when I think about this. Here's what, I am the voice. Amen. We are the voice of Christ. We are the voice of God. And John said, I am the voice, one crying in the wilderness. Now, if you don't think this fits you, we're all in the wilderness. Amen. Everything that we go through in our life is the wilderness, okay? And God put us there for a reason, so that we could be a voice to the rest of the other people in the wilderness, those people that haven't yet found their way. And he said, what God gave me to say, he says, is to make straight the way of the Lord, meaning find your path to Christ. When you leave this world one of these days, you're going to go to one of two places. It's either going to be eternally in heaven with God, or it's going to be eternally in hell, separated from God. So he says, it's our job to tell people to find the way. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said by the prophet Isaiah. So every day that we live this life, that we're on this earth, we're one day closer to our eternal life. Okay? Now, I can't say what your eternal life is. You can't say what mine is. But I pray that it's one that you've chosen to be with God. And every day that we live, we're one day closer to that. So that means that throughout our life, as believers, those who claim to be believers, every day our focus should be upon Christ, because he's the one that has given us our eternity. Now, I know there's other things in the world that we got to do. We got jobs to go to. We got farms to take care of. We got this. We got grass to mow. But our focus should be on Christ. So that means every day that you're out there doing whatever it is that we must do in the world, we're still focused on the Lord. We're still praising God for our life here upon this earth. And we're saying, Lord, show us some way to let somebody around me know what your saving grace is all about. And this all comes through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we're saved, don't think that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, because now the Holy Spirit dwells within you, so I don't need to be convicted by the Holy Spirit anymore. Yeah, you need to be convicted more than ever. The believer is convicted far more than the sinner. Because he's trying to keep us on the right path. And he's trying to get us to see what it is that he has for us to do. So we need to fervently, you know what that word means? Fervently, we need to fervently seek after the Lord. We need to fervently seek to do what God has given us to do here upon this earth. But we need to do it wisely, okay? We need to do it wisely, and we need to be alert. We need to be alert to the things that are going on around us so that we'll always have a willing desire to proclaim God's word to the world. Now, I'm going to take you back in Exodus for a minute. And I want to see if you've ever looked at this passage of scripture and applied it to your life as a believer. Because what this does, Exodus chapter 12, I'll give you a minute to get there. Exodus chapter 12, this is very significant to the church today. Because this is a type of, all right? When God used Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, it is a type of our life living here upon this earth, waiting for the Lord's return. And he tells you exactly what we're supposed to be doing. And in Exodus chapter 12, starting with verse 11, I can hear I'm pretty loud now. And thus ye shall eat it. Okay, so he was talking about what here? Anybody? It would have been their last supper before coming out of Egypt. But to us, it is the word of God. He says, thus ye shall eat it with your loins girded. Okay? So we're talking about our readiness for the Lord's return. With your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, with your staff in your hands, and you shall eat it in haste, because it's the Lord's time. It's the Lord's Passover. So right now, here upon this earth, this is the time that we're spending upon this earth. It's not our time. I don't care. You're here, but it's not your time. It's not my time. It's God's time. And we've got every one of us in here. If I gave you a notebook and a pencil today, I'll bet you could fill a whole page up on people that you would like to see saved, amen, before they left this world. And the next thing I'm going to ask you is, you wrote all them names down. What are you doing about it? Are you a voice? Are you the voice in the wilderness that they can look to? Huh? That they can look to and see the direction that they need to go to find the Lord. The Word of God encourages us to do this. This is where we find that awareness. This moment in our life that God has given us, and this is our whole life. Our whole life is a moment of opportunity. And we don't see it. We don't take it. But everybody that we come in contact with, we should understand that the most important thing is to talk to them about the Lord's return. And the people that we look at, the people that we're praying for, this should be our motivation to do better. This should be our motivation to get out there to share with others the goodness of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the book of 1 Thessalonians real quick. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Here's what it says. Chapter 5, starting with verse 5. Ye are, listen, pay attention, because this, we're not going to say you should be or you must be. He says, you are the children of light. You've proclaimed to be a believer. That's what you are. You are the children of light. You're the children of the day. We are not children of the night, nor of darkness. That means we've put away that sinfulness. We've put that all aside. And he said, then why are we asleep? Let us not sleep like everybody else does. The church today needs to what? Wake up. Wake up. We need to get rid of the stuff that's putting us asleep. That's why I'm so loud. I don't want you to go to sleep while I'm preaching. Right? We need to wake up. And he says, for they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But he said, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. If you go into Ephesians, it'll explain all this, the body, the armor of God, the whole armor of God. And he said, for God, listen to this verse. I love this verse. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. God, not one person that has died upon this earth did God want to die to wrath, being separated from him. Not one person. But he wanted everybody to spend eternity with him. And we should want that in our life too. Because he says to obtain salvation comes by the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who died for us, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And listen to what he says here. Comfort yourselves together. And we have to come together to do that. Amen. We comfort ourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. So we are children of God. And if we are children of God, then God has instilled within us his word. And he has done that to give us wisdom and to give us knowledge, because he wants us to understand how well equipped we are, because he wants us to recognize the signs of the times that we are living in, not so we can sit around and worry about it, not so we can sit around and build bomb shelters or bunkers, but so that we can get out and tell others it, the time of Christ's coming is drawing near. We have this responsibility. Now, what are you doing about this responsibility that we have? That would be my question. We have this responsibility. We're to quit participating in the foolishness of the world, and we're to carry out the promises of God's word. He didn't say to spend all your life here upon this earth trying to do the promises of God's word. He says as believers, you're already supposed to be following the promises of God's word so that you can carry out the promises of God's word. We're still trying to figure out what they are. We're not growing. We're not maturing spiritually in our life. So therefore, we don't see the responsibility that God wants us to see. God wants to guide us into the truth. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. When he told his disciples, he said, I've got to go back. You've got to let me go back. Because if I don't go back, the Comforter cannot come. And one of the things that the Comforter is going to do for you is he's going to tell you the truth. You know, a lot of us don't pray because we don't want to know the truth. Huh? You know, did you get up and look in the mirror this morning, or did you just walk by it like this because you didn't want to see the truth? God wants us to see the truth because he wants to guide us in that truth so that we'll be found doing those things that are pleasing unto him. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. He says, watch ye. Listen. Watch. Watch and wait. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit being like other men. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Quit being like other men. Be strong. And let your things be done with love or in charity. Two greatest commandments. Somebody tell me. All thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, if we followed those commandments, Just look where we would be in our life in Christ. Just look what God would be doing for us in our life in Christ. So he said in, let's go to Romans real quick. I love Romans. You guys were in Romans in Sunday school class, weren't you? Romans chapter 13. Here's what he says, verses 11 through 14. And that knowing the time, see, there's no question to these. So as believers, we can't sit around and say, oh, Lord, I really didn't know it was that time. Or I didn't really know he was getting that close to your coming back. We know, he says, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is what? Nearer than we believe. So when you talk to people today about the coming of the Lord, well, preachers have been preaching that for the last how many hundred years, and it hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen. Okay? But Satan wants you to. That's where he wants your mind to be. That, oh, I've got plenty of time. Y'all have heard that song, plenty of time, plenty of time. Okay? Y'all have heard that? But God wants us to understand, he says, we know the time, and we know that our salvation is near, meaning that the time of our salvation is near, because he says the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Now, listen to this. Let us therefore cast off what? The works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk. Somebody say that word for me. Is anybody following me? Let us walk honestly. Honestly. How many honest people we have? Don't raise your hand. How many honest people we have in here today? Huh? Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but what? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not make any provision for the flesh. We spend a lot of time making provision for the flesh, don't we? And Christ says, quit doing that. God will take care of those things if we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said, when you make provision for the flesh, you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So we're supposed to put all of those things away. We're supposed to do away with all of those things. So this means that part of being a voice for Christ is to encourage one another in the Word of God. Now, we're not hesitant about picking up the phone and we're sitting there watching CNN or whatever the news is nowadays and saying, did you see? Did you see what he done? Did you see what they're doing? Why don't you pick up the phone while you're reading your Bible and say, let me tell you what I just read about. Huh? Let me tell you what God just showed me through his word. It'd be dead silence on the other end, but that's okay. This is what we're supposed to be doing. This is part of our voice for Christ. To stay away from those things that is going to hinder our relationship with God. And when we begin to do that, even when we know that the world doesn't recognize it or accept it, the invitation is still there. There's always, we studied some in Revelation and the Laodiceans church age that we worked on a little bit. The last couple of verses, it said, Christ said what? Behold. Come on. There you go. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I can tell you, because it's happening to me, he's knocking now. Every one of you, he's knocking. And he's going to open. There's going to be an open door. And we're either going to invite him in, or we're going to say, oh, we don't have time right now, Lord. But even if you shut the door, what's he going to do? He's still there. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. It might be for salvation. It might be for spiritual maturity. It might be for your faith to grow. It might be to help you to see your ability, your testimony. But God is always standing at the door and knocking. So that tells me that if he's standing there knocking today, somewhere along the line, I shut the door on him. Yeah. Amen? Or he wouldn't have to stand there and knock. That's right. So we have to learn to keep the door open. And the only way that we're going to learn that is when we begin to see the urgency of our salvation. The importance of telling others about the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. The voice of one crying in the wilderness today is the church. That's you and that's me, because we all make up the body of Christ. So we all have our part to play being this voice. Telling others, go home today and pick up your phone and dial it to somebody that promised they would be here with you this morning and say, hey, I missed you this morning at church. I was looking for you and you didn't make it, but I'm going to pray you'll make it next time. Okay? Well, I can't do that, preacher. That would just be embarrassing. I might upset them. Better they be upset than spend eternity in hell. So this is our responsibility, to be this voice, to proclaim what God is doing for us in our life, to show others what the saving grace of Jesus Christ is truly all about. So that means we all need to come and experience this. You know, we all sitting here today, and I try to encourage this. Some churches I try to encourage it, and they ask me not to come back. But I try to encourage people to be teachers, to be preachers, to give testimonies, to take part, because everybody is part of the body of Christ. And the more that we encourage this within the house of God, the greater it will be outside of the house of God. So we encourage this within each other. The importance of watching, the importance of being alert. Because no more than we do in here, Satan is going to do 10 times that out there to compromise your faith. And sadly, we fall prey to that compromise. For we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So that means in our life upon this earth, we're going to face a lot of opposition. This is why we have the armor. And this is why God tells us over in 1 Peter. Let me read this verse to you over in 1 Peter. Over in 1 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 15. He says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And listen, be ready always. Always. So now, no excuses now. When somebody wants to talk to you about the Lord, oh, I forgot my Bible. Oh, I can't because of this, or I can't. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you about your hope of salvation. Even if it's no more than to say, I know I'm saved and I know God is taking care of me in my life. But to give an answer, and he said it is an answer that comes with meekness and with fear. And I'm not talking about worldly fear. That fear is a spiritual fear, which means that everything that comes out of our mouth glorifies God. And when we do that, he says, then we'll have a good conscience that whereas those who speak evil of us, then it isn't going to matter, that we might be ashamed falsely because when they accuse you of your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. It's all about doing the will of God in our life. So this voice is a readiness. And it's a security that God has given unto us. This voice is our faith. It shows other people our trust in God. And it shows other people that no matter what, we're prepared. We're equipped by and through the Word of God to represent Him and glorify Him and to tell others that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this is our responsibility to point others to Christ. So in Ephesians, this is the last verse I'm going to read. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, here's what it says. We're going to speak the truth in love. Okay? We're going to speak the truth with... How many of you may at one time or another felt like somebody was trying to guilt you into accepting Christ? Probably didn't work. Because we didn't speak the truth in love, meaning with the love and the compassion of God. Why? Not try to push you into it, but show you why that we need this in our life. Love and compassion of God. And he goes on to say that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, and here's what it does, then it will make increase in the body to the edifying of itself in love. When this body begins to work together, when this body begins to mature together, when this body begins to show love and compassion together the way that God wants it to, the only thing that will come forth from this body will be things that edify God. Things that glorify God. Anything else, God doesn't want. He wants the things that glorify Him because the things that glorify Him is the saving grace of Jesus Christ, His Son Jesus Christ. So we have to learn that it doesn't matter about denomination. It doesn't matter what translation you're reading out of the Bible. It doesn't matter. What matters is that we understand we all serve the same God. We all serve the same Lord. And we all have the same truth given to us, and that is when Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man or woman cometh to the Father but by me. That's what matters. And when we begin to understand that in our life, then our voice of one crying in the wilderness, it'll get greater. Our communication will become better. Our encouragement to build others up in a spiritual life in Christ will grow. And we'll be able to see those things that we've been praying for years and for years and for, you know, God heard the prayer. And you might say, why does God never answer my prayer? He has already answered it. He just hadn't let you seen it yet. He's waiting. He has a time and a purpose for everything. And when we begin to get where He wants us to be in our life with Him, then He starts revealing that stuff to us. He starts showing us the answers to the prayers. And we understand then the what we had put into it to get to that place in our life. But He's trying to bring that voice out. He wants to hear from each and every one of us. He wants to see our life in Him. He wants to see it growing. Because there's a purpose for how He speaks to us and how we speak to others. We first have to have a desire to believe it before we can get somebody else to accept it. And you know, a lot of times as believers, when we go to talk to somebody else about the Lord, sometimes we don't believe it ourselves. But God wants to see that in our life, because like God, we should not want to see anybody perish, but we would want to see everybody have everlasting life. So remember this one thing this morning. Write it down. Just remember this one thing. Your voice and my voice for Christ. God has given us the responsibility that it, somewhere along the line, it's going to be somebody's guide to salvation. So we must learn to speak out for the Lord. We must learn to stand up for our salvation so that somebody else might see that light and follow it to Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful this morning. We're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for that You have instilled within each and every one of us as believers, Heavenly Father, so that we might be able to show the world around us what Your saving grace is truly all about. And we just pray this morning, Lord, if there's one here that has never accepted Your saving grace, Lord, let our example be that it might point them in the direction to finding salvation. Lord, for those that may need to mature spiritually, for those who may need to grow in their faith, Lord, help us, Heavenly Father, to lift one another up so that we may become what You would have us to be in this world. Lord, for we have many friends and family, loved ones, relatives. Lord, we don't want them to perish and be separated eternally from You. So give us the strength so that we might let our salvation shine forth to all of those around us, Heavenly Father. Lord, for the knock on our heart's door, help us to open. So that we might see what it is that You truly have in store for us in our life. and help us to keep it open, Lord, so that we might continue to follow you the days of our life here upon this earth. Forgive me, Lord, for I have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help me, Lord, not to forget to give you praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray. And amen.
383.
If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, if you have a need or a burden, if you just want to talk to the Lord, then we would ask that you would find your way to pray with him this morning. 383. Okay, remember, Bible study Thursday evening. We'll be here at 6 o'clock. We want Bible school coming up, and we will be doing an adult class, and I think I'll get some stuff together, but I think we're going to be in Romans. So, and I'll get some stuff out so everybody will know, but anybody that would and will help, Chris needs participation. So,
there's four in fact. So you could read through it, and you all areas.
Okay, so let's keep that in mind.
Pastor Tim, can you sing the doxology?
Yes, we will. We'll do that here in just a second. Any others before we close this morning? Remember, stay for breakfast, fellowship. Okay.
Doxology.
Yep.
Flow, praise him, all creatures here below, praise him above the heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Everybody ready? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.